Backseat Quickies, episode 67, The Dark Knight Returns, part 1.
Wow, chicka wow, wow, chicka wow, wow, chicka wow, wow, chicka wow, 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 chicka wow, wow, chicka wow, 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 wow.
Hey, this is Scott.
And I'm Catwoman.
She's not even in this movie.
I'm Sam.
And this time around, we are talking about Dark Knight Returns Part 1, the latest in the DC direct-to-video animation line, in which Batman returns, go figure, to a Gotham City 10 years after retirement, and everything has gone to hell, and there's crazy street gangs, and the commissioner's retiring, and that's kind of it. Like, it's just the first half of the Frank Miller story, so it's just like, here's some setup, and there you go.
And here's some filler, because there was way too much of those damn news anchors.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's like, a lot like Year One, it's kind of slavishly devoted to Frank Miller's original work, except for two things. The future is not dystopian or near-apocalyptic. It looks like today, really. And that bugs me, because there are lots of elements of the story that kind of require Gotham to have gone completely to hell, and that's just not the case. And they've dropped the constant overwrought narration from the original comic, but they kept every goddamned page of the newspaper, the newscasters chatting at each other.
Well, and I feel like those newscaster bits are just replacing the overarching narration. I know that that's not entirely true, but that's how it felt for me. It was kind of like, okay, well, why do we need to keep all of this? I know what's going on. I've read the comic. And I just kind of thought it was a bit irritating that they needed to have the news anchors. And it was like every 5 to 10 minutes, they just appear again. Like, there wasn't a lot of time in between when they would appear and when they wouldn't. I found that really annoying. Because I think we counted, what, was almost 20 times that they appeared in the whole hour and a half.
Yeah, and about the third time, we just started groaning and talking over those bits. And I'm glad they dropped the narration. I think they kept a little bit of sort of the Batman persona talking to Bruce, coaxing him back, but nothing else, which is good. And acting-wise, you've got Peter Weller doing a really good job. Like, it's very much in the vein of RoboCop, but you get this sense that I'm Batman, I am too old for this, just surrender now. And you've got a lot of other good people in this cast here.
Yeah, I thought the acting was all right. I actually thought he was excellent as Batman. You could definitely tell he was doing the I'm too old for this shit nonsense. And I kind of appreciated that. I kind of missed Bruce, though, at the beginning with his mustache. I really liked that. I thought that actually kind of added a nice bit of personality. But I know, Batman can't have a mustache. It wouldn't look good with the costume. That being said, actually, the character that I really enjoyed in this movie was Carrie, who becomes Robin. She's just this geeky girl who decides to put on a Halloween costume. And it's kind of adorable. And especially when she saves Bruce from, which... essentially, the gang is from the Warriors. There's no way around it. Like, I know they're called the Mutants, but they just look like a giant ripoff from the Warriors. And it's really cute because he kind of just accepts her. He doesn't really think twice about this young girl. He just looks and says, you know what? Fine. Absolutely. But you can tell he's still pretty tormented over Jason, who, by the way, is a tool.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They keep flashing. They do a lot of really good artsy flashbacks to Bruce's parents dying. And they make it pretty clear that the reason he's not in the suit is because Jason Todd died, because that's the setup for, like, the alternate universe that the comic presents. But I would have liked to have seen flashbacks to Jason's death in contrast to that. You know, show how death sort of pushed him in and pushed him out of the cape. And I feel that was kind of missing. I think the art style is really good. It's sort of marrying the original Miller look of it to sort of the more current Young Justice look to a lot of the DC animated features. But what did you think of the art?
I loved it. I thought it was very nice in contrast to the comic. It had its moments where it had a couple odd looks, like with the news anchors, some of the squareness that they had. Some of it was a little freaky-deaky for my taste.
Yeah. And I should What else should I mention? Yeah, this is part one of the comic, and I really feel like it's kind of wasting its time. Like, you get this subplot with Harvey Dent, you know, supposedly on the mend, but then going crazy and trying to kill everyone again, and Batman coming out to stop him, and then the bit with the mutants, who are this crazy street gang that want to just murder people for fun, who dress like something out of Road Warrior, really. Like, they're the gang from, you know, Thunderdome. And, yeah, that's kind of it. Like, you get the bit with the tease with the Joker, and I'm just looking at this and going, you could have dropped Harvey Dent, done the mutants their due, and then done the showdown with Joker, skip Harvey Dent, skip Superman, and done the entire comic in about 100 minutes.
Well, and that was kind of it. I don't think there really was a need to do the entirety of the comic at all. The Harvey Dent bit, while it's great in the comic, is completely tacked on here. It doesn't feel cohesive in the slightest. And the bit with the mutants, I'm sorry, like, nobody needed that much of them. They weren't really that interesting. They were kind of stupid. And yeah, great. Bruce gets to beat up some guys. Whoop-de-doo. There wasn't any need for that. Like, I'm with Scott. It probably could have been condensed into a 100-minute movie. I just felt like a lot of what they added was unnecessary. There was a lot of padding in this movie, as much as it's very true to the comic. Sometimes being true to the comic means adding unnecessary things that even I didn't like in the comic book, so it just gave me more of what I didn't like in the comic.
Yeah, I'm going to say not recommended. I think Peter Weller's performance... Like, I can't give it a full, like, completely negative rating just for Peter Weller, but it's like, if you're going to be devoted to the comic enough to have, like, honest to God, like, 15 minutes of talking heads on the news, do the setting right, play that up, and that's all I got to say for that.
Yeah, I can't recommend this one either. I mean, I already wasn't really huge on this particular comic, so I didn't have a lot of faith for the adaptation. I mean... I managed to stay awake through the entirety of this one, so that's a plus. But at the same time, you know, Peter Weller, as much as he was amazing, and, you know, I liked how they brought Carrie into the story, I really didn't care for what was going on. I was just kind of going, so what? Because the better half of this comic is the Joker's return. Which, great, we're going to get that in the second part. But... this just was an unnecessary padding. Like, it's kind of boring to watch. Except when the action-y bits are there.
Yeah, and really it just highlights how poorly I think the original comic has aged. But, yeah, there we go. Kind of thumbs down, kind of weak for us. Catch you next time.
Bye.
Oh my god, it's the Backseat Producers.
Backseat Quickies and a number of better podcasts can be found at backseatproducers.com. To offer any feedback or submit your own quickie, check out the thread at spoopyouthouse.com/forum. Music by Scott Wachter.
Oh yeah, baby.